song of Narottam Das Thakur, Guru Maharaj gives original interpretation to the line, Bidya kule ki koribe tar se pashu baro durachar. Generally, we emphasize the line, Nitai korunahabe braje radha krishna pabe. And Heno nitai bine bai radha krishna paite nai. It's no less than Narottam Thakur, the giver of Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, who's drawing our attention to the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu. And saying, not in some perfunctory way, not like that. Saying the basis, the foundation for any possibility of a legitimate connection with this plane ostensibly that we seek, Radha Krishna, that domain, Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna conception. Saying without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, that's a fantasy or a nightmare. It's not real. You won't get the real thing, but for the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. And then we can think, why? That Nityananda Prabhu, that's Madhura Rasa, the Radha Krishna, and Nityananda Prabhu means, you know, up to Vatsalya Rasa, Sakya Rasa, and other things. Why? Saying, if you don't understand that actually by his mercy this all becomes possible, then you can't enter that domain. Guru Maharaj was something to say, the first other than Krishna is Balaram. And we say Nityananda Ram means Nityananda Balaram, Nityananda, same. Right? As Brajendra Nandana Ye Sachi Sutta Hoylo She, same. Balaram Hoylo Nitai. Brajendra Nandan Krishna is descended as Sachi Sutta, the mother of the son of Mother Sachi. Balaram Hoyla, he's Nitai. Right? Not Nityananda's a type or no. He's Nitai, he's Balaram is Nityananda. Nityananda is Balaram. The first other than Krishna. Everything after that comes from him. Everything. Right? The ground that the spiritual world is composed of, the ground that we walk on here. I find it interesting that, you know, every sloka of the Bhagavatam, there's some significance, something very profound. And sometimes what would seem to be just a peripheral point or a footnote or an aside may have some grand significance. So in the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram, and I believe it is it Dhenukasura or Pralambasura? I think Pralambasura. It's a whole other pastime about Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys and someone who's not a real cowherd boy mixing in the group. So beware of Sahajiaism and all of its forms. A Sahajia cowherd boy tries to show you. It will not be end well. Because we're saying that one cowherd boy, he's carrying Balaram off like to a remote corner of the Vrindavan forest because he has some murderous intentions, some unholy thoughts, and Balaram smashing him on his collarbone, and it becomes a bloody mess, but very beautifully described by Vedavyas, liquid manganese, you know, a river of liquid manganese streaming from a mountain. But that said, the so-called aside, the line that seems to be peripheral, perfunctory, or incidental, says that just as on a cloth, like the weave of a cloth, we always look at Indian cloth, when you go to the store, there's Hare Krishna, Andavan. They would give you the count, the weave, and you want to know, like, the quality of the cloth you have. So besides its length and other properties, they would give you a so-called count, like it's 40 or 80 if it was lower quality, and then 100, 150, 300 if it's very, very fine. And they're telling you how many threads going this way, that way, within some kind of a square something or other, depending whether you're on the metric system or a square something or other, that's how they measure it. So they're telling you about the weave. So many going this way, so many going that way. So sometimes Guru Maharaj would say, when he'd talk about the negative aspects, equating that with humility, positive aspect, the predominating moiety, Krishna, and talking about the negative's ability is to attract, not to assert. He said, we must put this in scientific language to appeal to the modern mind. Attraction, non-assertion. What is attraction? Humility, these natural qualities, which we often associate with feminine attributes. That's the way. But anyway, and with an allusion to gravity and the gravitational pull, the force of gravity, or which is supposed to be sustaining everything. But Balaram Nityananda, he's sustaining everything. So, and I say this because I think Guru Maharaj would like it. There's one theory they call string theory. I'm not a scientist. You can put a chiron at the bottom of the screen. You know, Bhaktisiddhira Goswami is not a trained scientist. So I don't want to go there. But just in what little I know, or what little I've heard of it, and a passing fascination, or just being informed about what's the latest thoughts and this, that, or the other thing. So you're talking about the string theory, and everything's resting on these strings. And I thought, when I was reading the Bhagavatam, I just smiled to myself when I saw this passage. I thought, oh, perhaps someone will come up with a theory that, and there's another group of strings going another way, presenting some sort of a weave, and it's in that, the fabric of that, that everything is being sustained. Because in the Bhagavatam, it says, and you, Baladev, whom, you know, smashing the collarbone of that Sahajiya cowherd boy. And you, it's everything, you're sustaining everything. Just as a fabric, there's a weave in that fabric and everything's resting on that. So it's saying the whole world, all the universes, the planets, everything, they're on the fabric of your potency. You're sustaining everything. And you do this without straining. It's not that, like, Atlas shrugged, and, you know, Atlas sitting there. Does anyone remember that? They show Atlas and he's holding the burden of the world on his shoulder. Not like that. He might pretend like that sometimes for the sake of comedic effect. But actually he's not straining to do, to Sandini, to maintain everything. And as someone who loves another, because we cannot properly estimate, we could say, how much love Balaram has for Krishna, or how much love Nityananda Prabhu has for Mahaprabhu. It's beyond, we can only hear about it and bow to that, but we can't properly estimate that. But sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes from what we've experienced here, we can make some sort of projection. So we know when someone's madly in love with another person, they express, their heart starts expressing all the different ways that they would like to serve them. They would like to be the ground beneath their feet, kind of thing. Or their garments, or they really, people express these things in the madness of romantic love. And there's, you know, janmadyasya yataha, everything goes back to the central conception of the infinite, the aprakrita lila of Krishna. You see, this type of love in the heart of Balaram and Nityananda, He wants to be the chair, the paraphernalia, the Sringasan, the Brahman thread, you know, the ropes that pull the Jagannath cart, are Ananta. Before Krishna appears in the heart womb of Devaki, comes first Balaram. And for various reasons, but Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur mentions that also to prepare everything, to make a nice, like, Shingasan for Krishna to appear. So when he is transferred to the womb of Rohini, his expansion remains behind as Ananta in the form, nice Shingasan, but beautiful, already beautified by the inconceivable Chinmoy consciousness of Devaki, but Ananta is now there to receive the Lord. So that sort of thing. The other day we celebrated or observing the disappearance of Ramanujacharya. And it's a very interesting name, Ramanuja. Because like we say, Satchisuta. And there's so many names of Krishna where he's identified with his, on the basis of a relationship with his devotee, right? Yashoda Nandan, Nanda Nandan, you know. So Ramanuja means there's Rama. Sometimes Rama means Balaram. Rama Anuja, Anu, Rama Anuja, means the little brother of Rama. So how sweet is that? We just said, well, wait, he's the first, first other than Krishna. So in stereotypical, linear, rational thought, which is never helpful, or rarely, when it comes to understanding the infinite, you think, well, then he should be the younger one. There's Krishna, and then the younger. No. His first, other than himself, is his elder brother. So right away, that should give you a hint here. Check your mind at the door. Jnane priyasam udapasana manta eva. The intellect, this is beyond what your intellect and mind can process. Shradhan vato anushranaya dattabarna yedyat. Only by hearing from those who are in touch with this divine substance can something meaningful, substantial come to you. So he's elder. And from an analytical point of view, we could say, well, why? Well, it allows for paternal-like sentiments. Unlike the pastimes with Ramachandra, Guru Maharaj says, in some places, Nityananda, perhaps, Balarama, he's saying like, I love Ram Leela, but it's not my favorite in terms of the role that I play. Why? Because when Ramachandra is banished, this is intolerable to Lakshman, which is his identity in Ram Leela. There's no way he will allow this to happen, but he's the younger brother. This is the one time he's in the younger position, and so he's contained, restrained, constrained by the social dynamics. Elder brother says, all right, prepare to go to the Tapovan, to the forest. And like, he has to do that. Whereas in Krishna Leela, in Balaram, when we're talking Balaram and Uddhava's very, he's Paramananda Puri and Gorlian. He's very, diplomatic, judicious in his thinking, measured. And, you know, he and Krishna, they're discussing what to do in some situation. It could be Jarasandha, it could be anyone else. But they're like going over the nuances of diplomacy. And Balaram's sitting there and he's like, well, what is all the talk? I have my club. We just crush his skull and this matter is solved. They're saying, yes, Baladev. And Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, like, how wonderful is he? Like, sometimes we hear he takes this Varuni beverage, which is a type of intoxicant. We can say based upon honey, other things, whatever it is, it's some kind of an intoxicating beverage. And Balaram will sometimes drink this, and he's in a state of intoxication. We know that sometimes, and demanding the presence of Jamuna, and she's thinking, I will not go, and she's in her river form, thinking, I will not go before him in this intoxicated state. And then Balaram taking his plow, the plowshare, and dragging the Jamuna toward him forcibly. And they say in Delhi, you can still find little tributaries of where he was pulling with his plowshare to drag Jamuna toward him. But in one place, Rupa Goswami, that Balaram, he is so intoxicated, he's saying, like, right now, the mood I'm in, I could destroy all the innumerable universes. And as Guru Maharaj would say as a footnote, and remember, within that, so many cows and sadhus and even Vaishnavas, and like, they're in those universes. And Balaram said, right now in the moon, I could destroy them all, and Krishna would not be upset with me. Because we can say, how is that possible? Because we'll say, if that could happen, then we'll all be liberated, benefit, having been, you know, met our demise at the sweet will of Baladev. But Rupa Goswami, in that chapter, he says, but let us pray for Balaram's mercy that this mood may pass. Saying, but if that were to happen, we would all be gainers in one sense. Because Krishna would not be upset with him. Nahant, what does Guru Maharaj say, Gita? Hatvapi sa ima loka nahanti nani badyate. There is a plane. Even in killing, even destroying the whole universe, there's no reaction. Right? But we, as a caution to our listeners, that may apply to Balaram and Arjuna, you know, circumstantially. Don't try this at home. So that Balaram, so Krishna here is identified sometimes as Ramanuja, the little brother of Balaram. And Guru Maharaj said sometimes in their pastimes, as happens, brotherly play, sometimes Balaram's giving a slap to Krishna. And then Krishna's going to Mother Yashoda and saying, what does he call him? Dadaji. He slapped me. And then Yashoda calling Balaram and chastising him for saying, I put Krishna in your care. You're, as elder brother, you're supposed to care for him. Sometimes I can't be there. Sometimes you're always supposed to protect your little brother, not to punish him or slap him. And so Balaram gets Mother Yasoda's chastisement. So then Guru Maharaj said, Balaram's taking little brother Krishna off and saying, little brother, let me talk to you something and explain to you something about how everything's supposed to work. Sometimes in our pastimes, it could happen, things like this. It's not impossible. It could happen. It might happen again. In the event that that does, you don't have to tell mother about these things. Just keep it between you and I. And we can understand there are secrets only known to Krishna and Balaram and Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. Sometimes they have mystic conversations only by gesture. They're talking to each other. No one can understand what they're, and we're happy about that. Those who are following the devotional life, they're very happy to hear that. They don't say, oh, what are they talking? We don't need to know. We're just happy to know that they do have these kind of conversations. Very private, very mystic. It makes us even happier to hear that. When we can say, when Nityananda Prabhu appears as a child, he has his childhood pastimes in Eka Chakra, house of Harai Pandit and Padmavati. But there, as a child, he's in one sense, as an overview, we're saying he's waiting for Mahaprabhu, for when they will join together. But he's having childhood pastimes in Eka Chakra, doing Krishna Leela, Ram Leela, various pastimes, and we're told he's like, you know, everyone is madly in love with this child. He's so beautiful, he's charming, he's fun for all the other children. He organizes them in the play of Leela. And these are very intense pastimes as organized by him. And we're told in one where he, in the Ram Leela, where he becomes fainted. And he gave some instructions to the boys helping. You know, they know they have, someone has to take the position of Hanuman, go to the Gandhamandana mountain, get these herbs, bring them back, you know. But when they find the love of, you know, their lives, hearts and souls, Nitai is lying unconscious, everyone, it's like a nightmare, it's a traumatic experience for them. They're crying, wailing. And then they remember he gave some instructions how to bring him out of this death-like condition. And they go, by play, by childhood play, retrieve these herbs. They're around him, you know, bring him back to consciousness. But to, why have such pastimes? To, and not only experience them himself in great depth, but plunge the hearts of all those who love him, flood them with the possibility of separation. Even the possibility of separation will take the heart to a deeper region. This is dealt with by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Chaitanya Charitamritam. Forget the aphorism he quotes, but he's saying that like a mother, she's holding her baby. And then if she starts thinking about all the things that could happen to this baby, she's clutching the baby even closer, tighter. Her heart is becoming even more affectionate, anticipating things that in all likelihood will never happen. They're just, in one sense, a fantasy. So he's letting us know that in an indirect way, as we consider these things, it will also be beneficial for us. As we contemplate these pastimes or what is being heard here, because someone could argue from a rational point of view, well, is there any separation or not? And what he's telling us, it doesn't matter. Just even conceiving of the possibility to the heart that has affection for the Lord and his devotees, it will generate the superior substance. And we see this throughout the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. Because from a rational point of view, you could say, he's only imagining these things. Right? It's all imagination. Where is the substance? No, in this type of thought, it is not real imagination. It's actually dealing with reality, and he is deriving inconceivable benefit from that. So Gurudev, he had so much heart or appreciation for Nityananda Prabhu, as did Guru Maharaj and, of course, Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj. He makes the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. He finds a place where Krishna and Balaram have their childhood pastimes. And the central altar is not Radha and Krishna. On the side, Radha Shyama Sundar and Lalita Vishakha and Gornitai there. In the central altar, Krishna and Balaram. And that's another thing we discussed at another time. But it shows this intense appreciation and feeling for them. But once with Gurudev, we're taking some prasadam, and he asked one of, you know, his guests at the said about this one preparation. How do you appreciate that, or what do you think about that? And he was appreciating some of the other prasadam, but didn't offer so much praise of that particular preparation. And Gurudev, like, he was visibly hurt, and he, as he was taking this, he said, That is the favorite preparation of Hadai Pandit, Nityananda Prabhu's father. You know, like you can see his, the color went out of his face all over, that this was Hadai Pandit's favorite preparation, and therefore the connection with Nityananda Prabhu, this, it like gave pain to his heart, that it was like beyond, let's say, what we could appreciate. Yet, he did not dismiss us by his mercy. But this comes to the central point. And from Gurudev again, he's saying, everyone knows, these are his words, he said, everyone knows Guru Maharaj is Rupa Goswami's man. So why always saying, dial nitai, dial nitai? You know, he's always invoking the blessings, the grace, the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Saying why? Everyone knows he's Rupa Goswami's man. The mystic transmission power from Saraswati Thakur to Guru Maharaj. So why is that person always praying for the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and singing the glories of Nityananda Prabhu? Guru Maharaj can answer that. Saying, foundation. There's the literal sense of foundation in which everything is resting upon, but then from internal consideration, foundation. When the boundary wall for Govindakund was being made, then the gate, the entranceway, under the direction of Srila Acharya Maharaj. And I saw for days and days, they're digging the hole deeper and deeper and deeper. And I kept wondering, like, how deep do they have to go before they make the above ground arch and gate that we have? And I said, why are they going so deep? And the answer came, for a foundation, so that what's built upon that can, all the things that could possibly happen, the good weather, the bad weather, the wind, you know, it could be struck by some sort of, many things could happen. It will not fall down because it has a deep, strong foundation. So Guru Maharaj would say, if we want to have a strong foundation in Krishna conception or Gaur conception, then it has to be built upon the grace of Nityananda Prabhu, right? So much so that in that song, Bidya kule ki koribe tar, se pashu baro durachar, Guru Maharaj, he's saying this. Narottam is saying, there were some, as we talked the other day on the appearance day of Advaita Acharya. See how we're going from Advaita to Nityananda and then Madhavendra Puri and Mahaprabhu. As Gaur Purnima is approaching. The three bona fide sons of Advaita Acharya, Achyuta, Achyutananda, Gopal, Krishna Misra, and then three others who are dismissed. Right? So why? Because they ostensibly were promoting Mahaprabhu and Advaita Acharya, but they're dismissing Nityananda Prabhu, saying, no necessity. You know, Mahaprabhu, Advaita Prabhu. And there's other things they say about that that I don't think necessary to say at this time. So that's what he's saying. The Bidya Kule Ki means, that means learning, scholarly pride, arrogance of those who think they know the scriptures. Guru Maharaj is saying these ostensive devotees of Mahaprabhu or promoters of Krishna conception, they're expounding on the Bhagavatam or the works of the Goswamis and not showing reverence to Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, before their talk begins, or even throughout. When Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur presents the Radha Rasa Shuddha Nidhi, what is the first sloka there? Gurudev liked very much. Everyone likes it. Nindantam pulakot koreena bikasam nipa prasunat chavim prodhukritva bujadvayam hari hari it uchayiv dantam muhu Nityantam drutamasru nirjara chaye sinchantam urvitalam gayantam nija parasadaye parivritam Sri Gaura Chandram Numa. Describing Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, Gurudev liked this picture on his veranda where you see the Panchatattva, and he'd say, oh, that's that sloka there. How Mahaprabhu, he's dancing with his arms raised, taking Krishna Nam, tears are streaming from his eyes, they're making all the soil moist. His hairs are standing on end like Kadamba, the what do you call them? Stamen or on the Kadamba flower, right? What are the stamen? It means those little hair, like golden saffron, golden saffron colored hair standing. Well, that's the beginning of a work that has 270 slokas in praise of Srimati Radharani. So what do they say? They say, this must have been added later. Like, why would you do that? The fact that you don't understand why you would do that, you're canceled, you're disqualified. If you understand the brilliance and the perfectness of Prabodhananda beginning with this sloka, without that, then you have no access to what follows. Vidya kule ki kuribe tarns. So it means all your so-called learning is useless. Your family connection, your jata goshai, you're in the Advaita Bhangsha, no. You're canceled if you do not sing the glories, the praise, in a substantial, real, heartfelt way of Nityananda Prabhu. Right? And, or thinking like, oh, as an avadut, he mixed with the lower section. So he's meant for the lower section. No, as Guru was saying, Nityananda has the highest disinfecting potency. They use that word disinfectant. And I say, oh yeah, there's like different disinfectants. And they're like great at being like, what's the highest one? Right? What is, you know, like if you have to deal with something that's really infected or polluted, what's the highest sort of disinfectant? The mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Right? And which is sometimes Guru Maharaj would say, when these different people, they like meet Mahaprabhu or Nityananda Prabhu, they make allusions to their past. Like, I heard about your pastimes with Jagai and Madhai, those two sinners, how you save them. And how is it? We're told, actually, Nityananda, he's looking for them. Just like Guru Maharaj told about the Jesus-Judas thing, and believe me, I don't want to get into that too much, but where he said he needs to, who can play the role of Judas? He said it must be a dear, I mean, Guru Maharaj can even give you insight there. He's saying, what is the look that made Judas want to go hang himself? Is Jesus saying to him compassionately, forgive me for using you this way, but your name is going to be black for all time to come, but it's necessary for forgive me. He's saying, forgive me after I betrayed him and with that. So here we know in the background, Jai, Bijai, and their three brothers, and they appear again, Jagai and Madhai and Gaurlila. But Chaitanya Bhagavad implies that Nityananda, he set this up. Yoga Maya and Bala, they cast and script Krishna Leela and Gaur Leela. So he's waiting to meet, he and Haridas, when they go out at different times, so he's waiting to meet them. And he knows how to set off Madhai. Because Madhai, Jagai, they're drunk and they're drunken stupor, they're wondering, like, they want to get into some trouble with somebody. Boy, did they pick the right person. And they say to turn to Nityananda, they're like, what's your name? That was it. That's all he needed. They go, what's your name? And Nityananda said, Avadut. Amar nam Avadut. And they said, my name is Avadut. He's going like, Avadut. Like, that's what made him so upset. What are you kidding? Your name is Avadut. Oh, you know, and Nityananda knew exactly that's what will set him off. You know, my name is Avadut. And that's when he takes his pot of wine, and I mean, it's inconceivable. He smashes the head of Nityananda, and there's blood coming from Nityananda, which I feel I must tell everyone. From it's all Chinmoy. It appears to be, you know, that blood. What is it? It's, you know, the highest spiritual substance. And then he's saying, and he's turning to Jughai. He calls himself Avadut. He's going to hit him again. And Jughai stops his hand. And he goes, what are you doing? Why? What do you expect can come from this? Why? He thought, this is too much. And then the news comes to Nimai Pandit that his beloved, his Nityananda, his everything, as much as he is in the heart of Nityananda, Nityananda is in his heart. And this makes him enraged. So he's calling for his Sudarshan Chakra. And the Sudarshan Chakra appears. It's going to finish Jaghai and Madhai. And he goes to punish Jaghai. Nityananda Prabhu intervenes. Said, no, it was Jaghai. He wanted to strike me again. He prevented him. And then this, how much love Mahaprabhu is saying, you protected my Nityananda. Nityananda, yes, he was, you know, he was right there. Oh, Mahaprabhu is giving himself to Jaghai because he protected Nityananda so dear to him. And then Madhai, seeing all of this and gradually coming to his senses, start praying to the Lord, you're so merciful. And he said, and you know, in your different incarnations, you have, you know, so many demons attacked you and you were merciful to them. And he's saying, that's true. They attacked me and I was merciful to them. But you attacked Nityananda, my beloved. I cannot, who knows what sort of a fate awaits you. And Madhai is praying for some sort of resolution. And this is their divine pastimes, Mahaprabhu. If you will fall at the feet of Nityananda and get his mercy, then all things are possible. And he falls at the feet of Nityananda Prabhu, gets his mercy, and in this way, Jaghai and Madhai are delivered. I mean, before this, all they were doing is harassing everyone. If people heard they were coming, they would run. They would like to not even go near them. Now we're told, and the Ghat is there, Jaghai and Madhai, Ghat, they would go there and help everybody. They're clean, they're doing menial seva, and everyone is astonished to see this transformation. Who were the worst type of sinner before? They came in connection with, you know, the ultimate disinfectant of the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Now they were totally transformed. And it's also interesting to note that from the position of the devotees, that they no longer made reference to their past. They didn't see them that way in terms of their past, but only the Vaishnavas that they were. Just like Guru Maharaj will say, you know, evolution means gradual expression. The sun, like right now, the sun, it's almost at its full expression, right? Let's just say it is, right? Follow me. The sun, because at noon is coming, is what I mean to say for people around the world, if there are some who are in a place where it's pitch black. Here it's almost noon. So he's saying, that's the actual position of the sun. The so-called gradual evolution of the twilight before sunrise, then the sunrise, and it gradually achieves this position. Actually, this is its position. And the other things are shown according to relative perspective. So really, this is their position, as we know from the beginning, Jaya and Vijaya. But for the necessity of Leela, they're descending and serving in these different capacities. So it would be offensive for us to think of them in any other way. But that they, their pastimes allow for the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu to become known in the world and glorified in the world, they're very happy with that and to play that part. But so we could think, though still like, oh, so, and it's the brain is the enemy. We have met the enemy and the enemy is us, right? So I can think like, oh, but so with these lower people, these sinful people, there's some usefulness there of this Nityananda, right? No, because Kaviraj Goswami, who delivers the greatest literature ever seen, the light of day in all time, all space, and all creation, Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam, he's offering up his own case as an example. And within the pages of Charitamritam, we will hear about Raghunath Das Goswami, as we heard the other day, on his appearance on the Basant Panchami. But Kaviraj Goswami saying, on the one hand, you know, to glorify yourself is a type of suicide, you know, especially for someone trying to make spiritual progress. You think, but if I did not express the glories of the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, I would be ungrateful. And he tells his own example, because he's saying, who is this Nityananda? He said, well, here's how I came to get some grace from Nityananda Prabhu, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, says that one of his devotees, as he is the avadut, what do you expect from the followers of the avadut? Which is of special interest to all the devotees assembled here. I say this to Avadut Maharaj from time to time. So if the Avadut is like this, then if someone was like the assistant of an Avadut, what do you think they would be like? Or, you know, like they're the followers. So Nityananda Prabhu, his group, like I told Trivikram Maharaj about my initial meeting of the devotees in Haight-Ashbury, you know, in 1969, I described them as delightful lunatics. And Trivikram Maharaj goes, I like that. And I said, I liked it too, because I mean it in an affectionate way. So here, the original delightful, eccentric followers of Nityananda Prabhu, you know, like Abhiram Thakur, he's carrying a flute that it's a tree trunk that would take 16 men to lift. Or no, 64 men. It's 16, not 64 men to lift. But he plays with this flute like a toy. How, that's just impossible. And other, this Meena Ketanaram, Kaviraj Goswami, saying, he carries a flute around, and what does he do? Like, sometimes he hits people over the head with the flute, and they're going, thank you, Prabhu, thank you. he's slapping them and laughing. And sometimes someone's giving dandavats, he climbs on their shoulders while they're giving dandavats. So when they get up, he's on their shoulders. And he's doing many different things. And so, which is pleasing to the devotees who are evolved, they're happy to be the recipients of his divine grace and mercy. But here he comes to this temple, and a relative of Kaviraj Goswami, he's doing the puja, and Meena Ketanaram shows up, and he doesn't give, on the plea of, I'm doing puja, you know, I'm worshiping the Lord directly, he is dismissing, denying, he's not receiving, not just a devotee, but a devotee of the highest order, one of the Dwadasha Gopals, 12 cowherd boy associates who've descended with Nityananda Prabhu, who for them, Nityananda Prabhu is their life and soul. They are surrogates. It's tantamount to the presence of Nityananda Prabhu himself, right? Not just by surrogacy or proxy. It's as if he's there. And not to give recognition to that. You know, I'm doing puja, Prabhu, you know. So Kaviraj Goswami, he calls that man Gunarnava Misra by name, and he's chastising him severely. And he's saying, because, Aminaketan Ram thinks like, what is the, he knows. It's not his own ego assertion. He knows also who he is in that sense. He said, who is this? The second Romaharshan Sutta, who we know in the pastimes of Balaram. He's thinking, he's on the Vyasa San, he's giving spiritual instructions. Balaram comes, he's, you know, I'm giving class. So what does Balaram do? You know, very mercifully. Remember, he can infuse his potency to anything. Takes like a kusha grass. They're getting ready to have like a yagya or something, a lot of kusha grass there. Picks up one of the kusha grass and then infuses it with Balaram like potency. So it turns into basically like a razor sharp javelin. And he like pierces his heart with it. He's dead, it's a bloody mess. You know, like on the Vyasasan, the yagya pit, the yagya. And yes. So he's saying, what is this? Like Romaharshan the second? So he breaks his flute, which is not a good sign. Right? It's Cowherd Boy. That means he's very upset, right? And he is insulted on behalf of Nityananda Prabhu Goswami, and Krishnadas Kaviraj is chastising that Gunarnava Misra, saying, you ostensibly present yourself to the world as a follower of Mahaprabhu, right? Saying, but this is, what is it? The fault, logical fault in Nyai, Arda Kukya Nyai. Called half a hen. One part of the hen delivers an egg, the other part eats. So you only get the egg if you feed the part of the hen that eats, right? Saying, so your philosophy, half hen, you want that egg, but not the other part, that without which there is no egg. So he's done. In other words, you don't understand, without Nityananda, there is no connection with Mahaprabhu. Again, it's fictitious devotion, it's fantasy, it's not real. And no less than Sri Chaitanya Dev himself has made these conclusions. And Chaitanya Bhagavat also, the past time where someone approached, and very high, I forget who it was, you know, who giving dandavats to Mahaprabhu, and he's saying, no, you give to Nityananda and then me. So always. And we're told that Gunarnava Misra, gradually, internally, he withered up, dried out, and he fell down from the path of devotion because of this aparad, this dismissal of not showing proper respect to the representative of Nityananda. And that night, in a dream, Nityananda Balaram appears to Kaviraj Goswami. And we're told that he's in a deep state of intoxication with what? Krishna Prem. So as someone can be drunk and staggering from due to heavy intoxication, he's so intoxicated with Krishna Prem. And Kaviraj Goswami says, Preme Mata Nityananda Kripa Avatar. Right? There's so many avatars. Who is he? He's the Kripa avatar who's what? Preme Mata Nityananda. He's madly intoxicated, drunk on Krishna Prem. And why is he the Kripa avatar? It says, Utam Adam Kichu Nakore Bichar. Yeah, Kichu Nakore Bichar. He makes no consideration. Utam Adam, that means who's very high? who's very low. Kaviraj Goswami, if you say, oh no, he only saving these most fallen low people. No, Nityananda's, who is Kaviraj Goswami? What about Raghunath Das Goswami? We wouldn't think of them in that way. He makes no distinction. He's merciful to one and all, like that intoxicated man, you know, who's saying, you know, have a drink with me. Everyone's drinking with me. Right? He's intoxicated on some, now he's telling everyone, you will also drink with me this divine substance. Whoever you, he doesn't consider who you are. He wants you to be intoxicated the way he is. That's how Nityananda Prabhu, he's not seeing your flaws, your faults, your good quality, bad quality, he's just saying, drink this divine substance. When Mahaprabhu, he wants to after doing his public service, Bahiranga Sangekori Nama Sankirtan, then Antaranga Sangekori Rasa Ashwadan, with Srip Damodar Ramananda and Puri, his private life, retired private pastimes, he sends Nityananda Prabhu to Bengal. Like he's telling everyone, you know, Amara Gyai Guru Hoya Taro Edesh Jari Dako Tarikaho Krishna Upadesh. Preach to everyone, you know, about Krishna and the glories of Krishna, Krishna Nam, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And Krishna, 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 hey, he liked to chant like that. And Nityananda, like, yes. And he goes to Bengal. And what is his program? Bhaja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga. In one sense, he's deviating from how he was instructed. This comes back to his being the first other. He can offer opposition. As Balarama is sometimes apparently opposing Krishna, and their pastime, he breaks Mahaprabhu's danda. And some other times, showing some seeming opposition here. He's going against that. But it's good for everyone. This going against is the best thing ever. Right? Because yata yata gora padara vinde vinde ta bhaktim krita punya rasi tata tatotsarpati hridya kasmat radha padam boja sudamburasi. Because as Guru Maharaj has put it this way, he's saying, so you get, by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, you get Mahaprabhu. And as Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur was saying here, and when you get Mahaprabhu, you get Radha Govinda. So if you look at the whole sequence, then you can say, as Narottam does, Nitai korunahabe braje Radha Krishna pabe heno nitai bine bai Radha Krishna paite nai. Nityananda, he knows how to give Radha and Krishna. How? Bhaja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Laha Gauranga, Nam. This is the way to that. Guru Maharaj said, that's what he's showing. He knows this fully well. We shouldn't and ever think, because by analysis we may say, well, Nityananda means, you know, in terms of rasa, vichar, shanta, dasya, sakya, batsalya, and then Radharani Madhura Rasa. But it's Nityananda Prabhu is giving the entrance into that zone. And we hear on the side, too, because how could we think if we hear, well, you know, Mahaprabhu sent him to Bengal for so he can go into this sort of culture and Krishna Leela, Balaram must be elsewhere for Radharani to come out fully and enjoy these type of pastimes. Yes, yeah, all true, true, true. And we should also understand, you know, who is Radharani's little sister? Ananga Manjari, which is the appropriate extended form to participate in those kind of pastimes. So don't think that that doesn't have its place, but it's too high, too much for us to talk of, but yet it's there. So it's only mentioned in brief. So now we should never think like what we, by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and all of his representatives, been exposed to by their grace, that this is somehow unknown to all of those above. That's impossible. As I like to tell, quoting Rupa Goswami, the Sado Pasya Sriman Dritta Manujakaye Pranayitam Bahadbi Girvane Girisha Parmeshta Prabhritibi. About Mahaprabhu's passing, Girish means Shiva, Parameshti means Brahma. Their dawning human forms have a glimpse of Mahaprabhu. They want to be in these pastimes. Sarvabhaumacharya was Brihaspati. And we can understand by implication so many others. So what to speak of the super servitors, and what to speak of Nityananda, right? Who, what sort of intensity is there? Guru Maharaj is saying he's, when seeing the Yashoda, Sachimata as the dream, where she sees Krishna and Balaram are on the Shingasana, the altar, and she's very happy to see that. And then she sees Nityananda telling them, come down from that throne. Your time is long ago. Your days are, you know, gone. That was long ago in the Dwarpar Yuga or something. Now my Lord Gauranga is here. So you must vacate the Shringasana. We're talking about Balaram's intensity as expressed in Gaura Leela to the point of removing Krishna and Balaram. But that said, we shouldn't think he's inimical to Krishna Leela. It's just for dramatic intensity. Because when, as he's waiting, those pastimes, and we're told when he leaves there, how he left, we don't know for sure. But as I said to Gurudev, I said, some people say the sannyasi who came to Birachandrapur, to Ekachakra, was Madhavendrapuri. And Gurudev said, some people say that. And I thought, oh, that's the answer. Some people, sometimes that's the answer. Some people, that's why it's mentioned. Because the Western rational, well, what is it? No, leave that in the West. When you come here, it's some people, sometimes it is said. Be satisfied with that. Be very satisfied with that. So, but when I mention that, that's what he said. And, but we do know that he goes on tour of South India to many, and Vrindavan as well. But, and leaving there, there's a place in Ekachakra where it's called Hadai Kund, the pond of, and it's told, Nityananda's father was so in love with him and could not bear his separation that he literally cried a pond. So that kund, that pond is made from, constructed of the tears of Hadai Pandit, who stood like a statue for 3 months, unmoving, not eating, nothing, unable to speak. He could not tolerate, because when a sannyasi came, we can understand this culture. But if he, whatever, he may say, oh, I need a pillow. Right? Oh, they bring a pillow. You know, that's why we were told when you're in India and you're at the guest of someone, never ask for anything. Because if they don't have it, it's a social embarrassment. Right? You just, whatever they give, you accept. You never ask for anything. Because right? I remember once in Indore, we were doing a program there, And they always say, is there anything that you like? You shouldn't say, you know. And one day we said, some yogurt. And they went, oh, of course. You know, they didn't have any yogurt. Someone leapt off of a veranda on the second floor, shimmied down a pole, ran to the marketplace, got a kilo of yogurt and came back so they could offer it. They would never say, they can't say, we don't have that. Right? So you should never. If anyway, it's just part of the etiquette. But that's a simple thing. But here, there's the sannyasi saying, is there anything else we could offer? And he said, I need an assistant. And that boy is so charming, he would be the proper one. And so Hadai Pandit, you can imagine how Padmavati feels, his wife. But how he feels, well, he has to give Nityananda Prabhu to that sannyasi to become his assistant. And then he goes off. And they're in like somehow living, but in a death-like state in separation from Nityananda Prabhu. And he is traveling around, goes to Vrindavan. When he sees where he and Krishna had their pastimes as Krishna and Balaram, he's falling to the ground and showing different types of ecstatic condition. But he's later telling people, he said, I went to Vrindavan and, you know, Krishna, and they've all left. No one's there. It's echoing the sentiments of, that Narada says with regard to Vaikuntha. I just came from Vaikuntha. Oh, what's happening in Vaikuntha? It's empty. It emptied out. The unlimited Vaikuntha world? Yes. There's no one there. What does he mean? They've appeared now. Everyone from there, they've appeared in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But still waiting. And what sort of restless anticipation the heart must have? Nimai Pandits in Navadvip, that's why we know a different thing. He's going, Bap, Pundarik, he's crying out for Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He's waiting for Nityananda, for Balaram to appear as Nityananda and giving some hint to his devotees. He sends them on a mission to find, you know, he's saying, I had a dream. And there's this great personality coming. He's, you know, on the chariot of Balaram, and he's riding furiously toward, you know, try and find him. And who does he send? Srivas Thakur and maybe Haridas. They go, and it's part of the play. They cannot find, those who have the ability, the eye, really to see, to find, they can't find him anywhere. And they report to Nimai Pandit that he's nowhere to be found. And he's just smiling, like, oh, good. And you think, I think I know where he is. And where do they go? To the house of Nandanacharya. That's why Guru Maharaj, everything Guru Maharaj does, there's like underlying significance. That's the place he indicated for Goswami Maharaj. Why? Because he's a Prakriti Prabhu. Why do they call him that? Because he's Nityananda Bangsha, but a Prakriti. They're saying he's actual. Appears like that, but so they call him a Prakriti Prabhu, which is mildly humorous, but to the point. So in, he's wondering where to establish his mat in Mayapur. Guru Maharaj is telling this place, where the house of Nandanacharya, where Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu meet. And this will be giving recognition and praise to your family line. It's all perfect. Right. So there they meet. And like Guru Maharaj is telling us about the height, divine hide and seek, from the Krishna Leela, they're descending and showing these marvelous, inconceivably beautiful, new, different forms. They're not like their Vrindavan forms. And at Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, what's described, when they first see each other, they're both astonished also. They're appreciating the inconceivably, you know, beautiful transformation. As Guru Maharaj alludes to in his Saraswat Arati song, saying when Radharani is seeing how Shyamasundara Krishna looks dressed in her heart and halo, she's mildly smiling, like she's very pleased, a little, what's the word that's similar to like embarrassed? But anyway, like that, it's like shy, but like that. Happy at the same time, but to see this marvelous transformation. And knowing what it means. So now Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pan, they're looking at each other and thinking like, is this that Krishna, that Balaram, that when we were together before And Mahaprabhu gives some indication to Mukunda, the singer, and he's singing like Barha Pidam Natabara Bapukane Okarne Karam or Shyamam Hiranyapadinam Balimbar, these types of guys. Bibhat Basa Kanaka Vasam Vajayanti Tumalam Randran Venu Udhaya Sudhaya Puriam Gopa Vrinde Brindaranyam Supada Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. How Krishna and Balaram, how beautiful they look in the morning when they're with their friends, the cowherd boys, they've got their flute, they're playing flutes, singing, dancing. Krishna's flute is showering nectar in sound in the air. Balaram singing and dancing. The earth is shivering in conjugal ecstasy. Radharani and the Brajagopis are looking at them from the rooftops and balconies. And Nityananda, seeing that Krishna transformed into this beautiful Gauranga Sundar, Shyama Sundar has become Gauranga Sundar. He faints, which means like vanishing consciousness of this plane as to the degree becoming consciousness of that plane. Not just like unconscious, but fainted to this world on account of overwhelming presence of that world. So he's in that plane. And although it is his heart's preference, as we told, to be bed, slippers, everything, like always for the Lord to like rest in his lap, when he awakens, he's in the lap of Nimai Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit seeing the, is smiling, saying, oh, look. Like, here's a rare instance where you could say, we say devotion is where the infinite comes under the control of the finite, where the devotee is in the superior position. And we say, apparently, this appears to be a contradiction, which is pleasing to Gadadhar Pandit. Look at role reversal. Now, he's in the lap, but who is that Lord? It's the Lord in the mood of a devotee. So still devotion is getting the upper hand. If we had to support that, and we would be happy to. So anyway, that Nityananda, when he joins with Nimai Pandit there and Mahaprabhu makes it clear that everything should first be expressed in terms of appreciation to Nityananda Prabhu. Kaviraj Goswami is saying the thing. So that Nityananda, and he's saying, Krishna Das, and the madness of his intoxication of Krishna Prem, he's saying, and they're saying, bees are flying around his garland, humming, you know, beyond Veda. He said, Krishna Das. He's expressing his pleasure at how you chastise your brother. This is the qualification to enter into Vrindavan, is to understand the primacy of the devotee. That is the point. And that will mean, by inference, Nityananda and Gadadhar and Balaram Radharani, the primacy of the devotee always to enter into that plane. Without this, nirmatsaranam satam, nirmatsarja saranam satam. The Bhagavatam says in the beginning, this is the preliminary qualification for entering into the mysteries of this literature and Krishna conception. So understand, the devotee is in the primary position. So, Guru Maharaj and Gurudev, Dayal Nitai, Gurudev would talk about what Nityananda Prabhu ate for breakfast. You know, and I was going like, how do you know that? He's saying, he likes Murti, but with a little fried eggplant. And he was like, and he'd describe it in such a way as he's going like, oh, I would really like to experience that. And although generally they're like not inviting anyone into the mat, there was some man, and I believe Gurudev said he might not even have two legs, but somehow this man, he said, could dance like Nityananda Prabhu. And every now and then, like on some holiday or something, Gurudev would like have him come in, they would sing some songs, he would dance a little bit, he'd give a little something. This was like special mercy of Govinda Maharaj. And we're told, so as Mahaprabhu, Mahavidanaya avatar, he's distributing Krishna Prem to everyone. Somehow we saw in the case, you know, Jagan Madhai, sometimes and others, that for some reason Mahaprabhu cannot deal with them personally, and then Nityananda Prabhu's grace is there. But even more so, as the son of Nityananda Prabhu, Birachandra Prabhu. So that place is also Birachandrapur. So he's, if it's conceivable, even more merciful. But as Srila Gurudev says in his song, he said, but my Guru Maharaj, who's as dharmic as Ramachandra, and if you think that means he might be like inflexible or no, he's more merciful than Birachandra Prabhu because he saved me. And then we see that reflected in his divine grace, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami as himself, personifying that type of love and affect, you know, indiscriminate love and affection, if we had call it. So Guru Maharaj is always extolling the glories of mercy above justice. Right? Saying, if not for mercy, what hope is this for any of us? And when we hear about the glories of Nityananda Prabhu, then everyone becomes hopeful. And it just reminds me, when I was giving a talk in South Africa, maybe on this day or a similar time, about the glories of Nityananda Prabhu, recalling Guru Maharaj saying, and he's going door to door, knocking on the door, you know, falling at people's feet, begging them, please accept the, you know, the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And all you have to do is say, I want it. And when I was saying that, then some little kid in the back, who was like around 9 years old, he goes, I want it. Because he heard me say, all you have to do is say, I want it. And he goes, I want it. I said, yes, young man. And then what did he say? How merciful that, so Vrindavan Das Thakur, who's intimate associate, cowherd boy associate of Nityananda Prabhu, you know, he said, beautiful, begins Chaitanya Bhagavat, this, Ajanulan Bitibujo Kanaka Vadato Sankirtanaika Kapitaro Kamalaya Yatakso Bishwambaro Ivadvijabaro Yugadharma Palo Bande Jagat Priyakaro Korona Avataro. He's praising Gaur Nityananda, telling how merciful is Nityananda and what a, you know, an inconceivably wonderful opportunity is before you and the mercy of his lotus feet. I was walking down Park Street once in Calcutta, you know, in Sannyas Vesh, and as a member of just say generally the Krishna consciousness movement, it's not unusual for people, you know, like, oh, Hare Krishna, or, you know, say something like that. But what's wonderful about Bengal, I'm walking down Park Street and someone goes, you know, Jai Nitai. And I thought, like, how good is that? Where can you walk down the street and someone says, Jai Nitai. You know. So, anyway, so the Vrindavan Das Thakur, knowing the glories of Nityananda, how merciful he is, he's saying, but if you, for some reason, you don't appreciate this, saying, then I want to, you know, kick your teeth in with my left foot. And people are like, what? Like, that's no way for a sadhu to talk, you know, or a spiritual, a saintly person. Look at Kaviraj Goswami says, Jagai madhai hoite murise papista, purise rakita hoite murise lagista. I'm more sinful than Jagai and madhai. If you, hear my name, you'll lose all your pious accumulation. If you vibrate my name, you commit sinful activity. Lower than the, you know, he's speaking like, and then here's Vrindavana saying, and if you don't take this opportunity that's before you, the form of the mercy of the lotus feet, then I'm just going to kick your teeth in. And they're going, that's not Vaishnava, you know, and therefore, and back to our, you know, Sahajya friends, you know, parsing and doing exactly what Vrindavan says. And Kaviraj Goswami says, do not do this. Resist the temptation to start analyzing these great devotees and their so-called differences between Advaita and Nityananda. Don't do it, you know. And that's Guru Maharaj, you know, Vidya Kule Ki Kuribe Tar Se Pashu Baradurachar. You get to say Pashu Baradurachar. Not good. Not good. So, Vrindavan is not, what is Saraswati Thakur saying? Is he saying, oh, in this way, Vrindavan Das Thakur, being, you know, one of the entourage of Nityananda Prabhu, he's created a new channel for that mercy. You think, how so? Saying, just like a child, sometimes the children, we see these little kids too, you know, their parents, like they're taught, and it's, you know, the children, like they see from here, and the adults are all up here, and someone's talking to their parents, and a little kid like comes from behind and like kicks the other person, and then runs behind their mother's skirt, you know, and hides. And then what do the parents, they say, oh, I'm sorry, normally he's very nice. He doesn't usually do that. You know, and they have to like give themselves in compensation for the misbehavior of the child. So he's saying, Vrindavan Das Thakur is like the child of Nityananda Prabhu. If he abuses you in some way, then Gaur and Nityananda have to come and compensate for that apparent misbehavior. So actually, his misbehavior is the cause of your coming connection with this divine substance. So how can that be anything but a good thing? And then you understand something of who Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is. Hare Krishna.